and we recognize what God's saying for us, we'll be able to connect and start to have that big plan unveiled for us and what God's trying to do. So as we're going to go into this, there's one important thing we do need to understand. Diversity was God's design. Diversity was a plan that God created. He made every single one of us unique and different. Everybody. It doesn't matter. You can go, oh, skin color. Nope, God made that. Different eye shapes, God made that. Different hair color, God made that. Different heights, God made that. Different thicknesses, God made that. Everything God created. So if we understand that God didn't mess up, he didn't make certain people different and go, oops, oh, I didn't mean to do that. No, he made them different for a reason. Then we'll start to have a really, really different outlook on how we treat things today. And I hope that that will happen here and now. So we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians. And as you're getting there, take in some things and food for thought. Okay? There's a big picture. We are a part of a bigger picture project. And it's not just me. I have a part to play. Okay? And when we understand what that part is, we start to take our places in God's grand design and purpose for his whole body. And hopefully that'll make sense when we get here. So 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 through 19. Right there. And we've heard this before, but this will bring some clarity. So for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Now, taking this scripture and reading it as just different parts of a human body, that's one way to analyze it. But who makes up the body of Christ? Do we just give our ear and go, here, I don't need this. This can go make up the body. Nolan unscrews his foot, goes, here. That makes up part of the body of Christ. So that he can continue to go live his life as he sees fit, but I've done my part. No. Your whole being, every part of you, is a part of the body of Jesus Christ. Every part of your existence is part of the body of Jesus Christ. So when you read this now and you take that in consideration, you have to then go, okay, Miss Terry, you're an ear. Maybe even smaller. You're like the inner eardrum bone. Maybe the hammer. And Miss Karen is the timpani. Together, you work in one department of hearing for the body of Christ. If we start to recognize how that framework is being etched into this scripture, then you start to recognize that there is a lot of parts to the human body, and you are just a small microcosmal part of it. But others around you are necessary and needed so that you can continue to accomplish the things that God has prepared for not just you individually, but for the whole body of Christ. Okay, so if we understand that, right, let's compare this to something that America has adopted, because believe it or not, America has adopted this very principle. When it was founded and created, all men are created equal, right? That means everybody who comes in here under American citizenship law and enters in as an Americanized citizen, not the illegal jumpers, but the ones who actually are here legally, they go through these courses. And one of those things that they do in those courses in preparing them is to understand what it means to be different in the country, but to embrace everything the country stands for. That's what they go through. It's part of their citizenship. Yes, that's true. But there's process, and I'm not here to pick on the process, but I'm here to just to demonstrate what is important. And again, we're talking about a man's system. It didn't emulate God's system. It just took some things from it and goes, oh, well, those are some good ideas. Let's try to make that work here as we bring in people into this country, which is why we are such a diverse society. America is super diverse because it didn't restrict anybody from being able to come into this country. The one restriction was is that you accepted this country and what it stood for. That's it. Learn the language, as some people would say, which is funny because English is not really what we speak. We speak American, okay? Now, what has happened in this country is more profound, and this is where we have to recognize the results of what is not complete in God's design and why it failed. Because if you wanted me to come up here and tell you, oh, okay, well, things are, you know, all nice and good and keen and happy because people are coming in legally and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. Oh, but then people go, well, it's because of the people that aren't coming in illegally. You're coming in illegally and they're making it all messed up and they're messing up the system. I love when people bring me that argument. I go, no, it's not their fault. They desperately want to be here because it's so profoundly worse where they came from. They don't care what it means or what it takes to get here. They don't want to go back. And it's so desperately wicked where they were that this is better. So I'm not blaming the person who's trying to get in here illegally because they understand what is so good and great in this country. They want it. Okay? But here's the problem. This system that America has adopted is not complete because it leaves out other parts that God's design and what I just read you is including. And that is something known as oneness. What does this country do? It doesn't incorporate oneness. It incorporates separation. It incorporates you go over there. We stay over here. And it has been doing this for ages. So what happens now is in this, you then get told how to live in this country, not in a sense of oneness, but in the sense of diversity is differences. Or what makes you different. In this, it's addressing how that thought process is flawed. How can a foot turn around and say that it's not part of the body? How can an eye not say it's not part of the body? If everybody was an eye, where would hearing be, right? It's oneness. We need to come together. The original design of this country was that we come together under one flag, one country, we unite under that. But so much has transpired over the course of time that that is degraded and degenerated because it's not built upon a firm foundation in Christ and God. That is why we now have been divided into groups. And those groups are based on your race, your age, your education, and your wealth. And whether you believe it or not, you have been put into a group. I'm sorry, old timers, but you all have been grouped because I just called you old timers. And that's what they call you. Or they'll call you, okay, boomer. I love that one. Come at me. I'll tell you, I'm not even close to a boomer. But that's what they do. Here's the biggest problem, though. This is not something that's perpetrating America only. It's perpetrating the entire planet. It's global. You think COVID's bad? This is worse. Because division is being sown as a seed, a lie from the pits of hell that is being sown into every single human being to continue to tear down and keep us separated. Why should this not surprise us? How many people read their Bible? How many people really read their Bible? How many people have been in Jude recently? There you go. Well, go to Jude. Go to Jude. Cause you're gonna get some education. Actually, I'm before I could even get there, I'm just gonna turn because it'll take me a few minutes to get there. Alright. Jude 1. And we got a bit to read. It's 10 through 11 and then 16 through 19. I'm just kind of, cause you'll see when I read it. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. And then picking up at 16, these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time, who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. There is a war at hand, and it is between those who are in the Spirit of God and those who are not. And those who are not, that is their plan. Right there, clear as day in Jude. Bible doesn't talk about this stuff. Bologna doesn't. Yes, it does. God knew. God knew everything that was going to happen. He knows how this world is going to come to an end. So if he knows how it's going to come to an end, what do we have to do? We have to dig in. We have to figure it out. It's not some tricks and, you know, you have to make a, what was the Da Vinci Code thing, right? You don't need some kind of, you know, codex to solve it. It's not a riddle. It's clean. It's very simple. He spoke very clearly. What is here? Why is this considered evil, first and foremost? Because it's against God's original design. Anything that goes against God's original design is immediately evil. Well, how can I say that? Well, God is the supreme entity of holiness and good. So anything that is the inverse is, come on, evil. It's not a hard thing to figure out. Oh, I love that. Well, it's not entirely evil. If it's even one micro percentage of evil, it's evil. Because that little bit of evil will corrupt all of the good. That's what evil does. And that's what's the problem here. And this is what this is expressing, is the key to this is the corruption. People don't understand. I love, if you've been in Jersey long enough, one of the most corrupt states. Okay? It is one of the most corrupt states. Why can I say that? Because every single person who comes into the positional of authority, regardless of how much you think your vote counts, there are systems that are hidden underneath that eventually worm their way in and corrupt that person. And then the policies, procedures, and everything that follows come from that vein of corruption. Corruption corrupts absolutely. It always does. Why? Why does it work that way? Because it's fed. As long as you feed it, it will not die. This corruption spreads like a wildfire, okay? And what does it feed on? Here's why it lasts. Ready? I'm giving you the answer. She's 100% right. You want to kill it? Starve it. Here's the problem. We feed it. I'm calling on the body of Christ. We feed it. We're just as guilty as everybody else in the world because we feed it. How do we feed it? Here's what it feeds on. It feeds on your lusts. It feeds on all the simple desires of your heart that you think that you value more now because it's an immediate problem in your life than the future holds that Christ is compelling you to go to and look forward to. No, you're focusing on now. And as long as you're consistently focused on now, you're feeding the beast. Provision isn't going to come as long as your faith is in man. It comes when your faith is in Christ and in God. He's the provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. He wants you to go to him. He doesn't want you to rely on man. As long as you continue to do so, you feed the beast. It feeds on your emotions. That's going on right now. All the emotional flare-ups of tying and pulling on this over-centralization and emotion based off of a very tragic end to a human's life. It was horrible. It should have never happened. Everybody can say that. But what is now transpiring is just emotionalism. That's all it is. And it's being fed by every media group known to mankind, not just one, all. Every single one of them are feeding into it and fueling the fire because these people, if they stopped reacting and thought logically about where they're at now, they would probably look around and go, how did I get here? How did I get here to this very moment where I'm contemplating tearing down a statue of Abraham Lincoln, okay? The guy who wrote and built the Emancipation Proclamation that freed the slaves. Why are you there? How did you get there? Because logic and reasoning is out the door. You can't use that anymore. It's not about that. It's about the emotionally driven course that you were on. You were on a roller coaster and you got off at the wrong stop. That's all that happened. You can't recognize where you are anymore because that's what your emotions do. That's where the enemy plays the most. He loves to feed on your emotions because that leaves out all other things. Our emotional state won't recognize rational thought. It won't recognize logic. It won't recognize reasoning. It won't recognize truth. It goes against everything. Think about it. When's the last time you were in a really emotional state? I'm not asking for answers. Could have been, you know, a recent death, a tragedy. It could have been, you know, a deep love connection. It could be. You weren't thinking rationally. You weren't. Because all the stuff that's swelling up in you right now has your attention completely 100% fixated and focused on that current thing that's before you. So where is God? Is he at the forefront? Probably not. Are you digging in scripture to see if this is true? Are you finding the truth? No, you're not. You're running with your emotions. Again, what's it do? Feeds the beast. Your difficulties. I love this one. Because how many people have struggles and difficulties going on in their life? Right? It sucks sometimes. It's hard. Here's the funny part. I could probably willingly say that about 50% of that difficulty is self-inflicted. The other 50% came from the beast itself. We said, here, help me in my plight. Please, help me in my plight. And then they go, okay, here's more plight. Seems like a bad trade. I'm just saying. I need help. Here, help me. And then, okay, help me. Okay, help me. Okay, help me. And I'm not getting helped. Well, Pastor, how are you preaching on that? I don't see that. Okay, well, here, I'll give you personal life testimony. I've worked every day in my life. I've never, ever, ever needed to rely on the government for help until I did because I got laid off. In the time that the government had to do what it needed to do to help me, another week goes by, no pay. Another week goes by, no pay. Another week goes by, no pay. Another week goes by. I've been feeding that system since every day I worked. Where's my help? How about calling for assistance? Oh, okay, you need electrical assistance. Okay, you call the company that's supposed to offer you help and assistance, and then they make you answer questions. Some of those questions have nothing to do with electrical assistance, like, what color is your skin? I'm sorry, what does that have to do with me getting electrical help? Well, it's just part of the questions. Okay, at the end of the thing, well, there's nothing available for you. Why? Well, because your skin color's wrong. Excuse me? Again, you feed the system. When you need the help, it just gives you more difficulties. Why? Because it keeps you on the system. That's what it's designed to do. It's designed to keep you hooked and dependent on it so you continue to feed it while it continues to give you no hope, no freedom, nothing. And you can find all those systems. They're all designed in this government. Lastly, what it feeds on is your past. I can't tell you how many people continue to make decisions based off of things that have happened in the past. And those decisions, the enemy likes to do, is reveal them to you as though this happened just the other day. This just happened. You need to go do something about it now. I mean, that's also what's going on today. They're trying to rewrite history. Why? Because of things that happened before they were even glimmers in their great-grandparents' eyes. Okay? Things that they had no control over. But here's what's funny, folks. Rewind to 2019. Wasn't even a subject. There was no talks about it. Were there still injustices being perpetrated? Sure, absolutely there were. Were there still problems with police doing things that were not correct? Yep, still were. So what changed? You won't find the answer, because nothing changed. The difference is, the difference is they are drawing and pushing an agenda based off of the past. And that's what they will do. The machine wants you to think and dwell on things that are beyond you, because what is God's plan? God wants you to focus on the future. Is always polar and opposite. So everything that the enemy is planning and trying to do is getting you fixated and focused on what is done and in the past, and trying to get you to stop looking ahead to the forward and the future. That's always the goal. So when we pay those things and we give it the attention, as so eloquently put, we're not starving it and killing it. We're just keeping it alive and feeding it. And this is why it still exists today. And as much as we want to sit here and maybe go, oh no, I'm not. Maybe I do feed it somehow. Maybe somehow I have been feeding this thing and I'm as guilty as everybody else. But this is why it's, this is why the corruption exists. This is why the corruption continues to exist. And this is why things like in Jude are happening today, because it's lingered and stayed around, and time again, when we have opportunity to kill it, we didn't. It's like taking Goliath's head. We just opted out. Somebody else will take him out. It's not my fight. Wrong. It is our fight. So let's get back now to this diversity complex, because we can sit here all day long and point fingers about what's feeding it, what's not feeding it. The reality of it is that what the machine wants to do is focus on those differences to get you hooked into the corruption system. It wants to do that. It wants to keep you at odds with one another. That's the whole mission and the plan. Continue to keep the chaos pool going. Satan loves chaos. It's his playground. So why would he want to tear it down? He wants to build it up. He wants to keep going, right? John gives us another piece of the puzzle. John 16, and I know it's going to be right behind me. Verses 8 through 10. Is that right? Why do I not think that that's right? I think I gave you the wrong one. Hold on. It's possible. No, it's not my Chronicles moment. If you don't know what that means, you can ask Pastor Stiles. Pretty sure that's not it. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, it's right. I'm just, why is it not right in my Bible? Oh, that's why. All right. So, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. We have to recognize what the biggest purpose and plan of the diversity project is, and then what brings us together. This is important. As believers in Christ, we have to understand that even though we are all uniquely made and different, and God has a purpose and plan for us in our uniqueness and our diversity, that we are still connected and one. This is the missing component. If you go back and you read Jude, it clearly pointed out the problem. The problem was those that did not have the Spirit within them. So if you don't, you are in that field, you're playing that part of the game. If you do have the Spirit in you, this is what connects us. This is that oneness that is needed. In order for it to work, according to God's plan and purpose, we need the Holy Spirit to connect us and bring us together as one. You cannot do this without Him. It is imperative that we all have the Spirit in us. And when we recognize that that comes together, what He does for us is these things. He reveals these things to us so that we understand what's going on. We have this problem right now. It's very, very prevalent in the church right now because, yeah, you want to speak out. You want to talk about the things that are going on currently in society. You want to bring attention to these things because, yes, there's wickedness and there's evil and going on and all this stuff. Okay, well, what about that? Well, what is being revealed? We have sin. Sin is being revealed. You can see it. You can understand it. You can see what's going on in the heart of men. You can see what's going on in the heart of people, right? It's from their fallen nature. But what else is revealed? God's righteousness, His true purpose in all this. What is He revealing to you to show you what the true purpose of His plan is? It's not based on what's happening. I'll tell you that much. And then judgment, God's final authority. He has the final say. He is the end and the beginning. So we have to recognize that at the end of this all, there is judgment. So all that comes together, what do we get from this? What we understand then is that if those things are true, because they are, what God's revealing to us and showing us is that we have to stop focusing on people and focus on the problem that's not a person, but the entity behind it. Sin is not a person. It is the overall environment that is being revealed through them. People aren't the problem, folks. God still loves every single one of those people, regardless of what's going on in their life. He still wants us to reconcile them back to Christ. But if we sit there and go, no, because you're practicing this evil, whatever, blah, 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 then you're not connected to the Spirit of God that's recognizing that, yes, that's sin, but there's still a person that's there that needs to hear the love of Jesus Christ. Again, is that going on? No, because what's happening? They're now trying to divide us from them. They're trying to keep the church out. They're trying to kick the church out of these areas. They don't want us involved. They don't want that to happen. Since the ruler of this world has been judged already, we stand in a place of victory over these lies and deceptions that he still tries to propagate to divide us and put us against one another. We as the body of Christ, united by one Spirit, are the hope of glory because Christ in us. That is how it gets done. There are differences that are here, right? But that's what makes us operate perfectly as God has designed us to operate. It's okay to be different. It's okay. As long as you're connected and we're together one in Christ, we can work, okay? But we have to acknowledge who the Creator is, His divine plan and purpose, and why He created us the way He created us. It's important to understand all of those things come together. That's what makes us who we are. If we understand those things, then we should have no problem understanding His divine purpose in our diversity. Now, we have to take all of that and combine it with our citizenship. Because, again, taking this and pairing it with America, we have a citizenship policy. We have a way of coming in. We have a way to come in correctly, right? How do you come in to your citizenship in the kingdom of God? Do we know? Dylan, Galatians. I think we do know this. You should know it. Galatians 3. And it goes around to 4. So it's one of those. It starts and then they chapterized it midway through the thought. Yeah, I love those ones. I love those ones. So chapter 3, 26 through 29, and then wrap around to 1 through 7 on 4. Okay? So starting at 26. Well, actually, I have to go back to the other page. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and daughters. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Pause. That means when you make this, what happened? That means your original heritage, your original culture, your original race, everything that you used to call you and identify who you were, you're no longer that anymore. So stop telling me how you're African American, you're Irish American, you're Italian American, you're this. Are you born again in Jesus Christ? Then you're none of those things. Sorry, you're not. Put it to death. That should be on the cross with your flesh and your body, because that's the old man. That is not moving forward. That's staying in the world. It's staying grounded into the world system. I know that might bug some people, but it's the truth. Okay? What else? There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. So all you people getting upset because the Bible talks about men, there is neither male nor female. We're all in it together. We're one. It doesn't matter. It's not, that's not a gender proportionary thing. That's not like, oh, we're misappropriating genders here. No, that means stop focusing on gender. Stop worrying about it. Are you in Christ Jesus? Then you are Christ. Who is he? Who is he? Is he a man? Yes, he's a man. So if you are a woman in Christ Jesus, I'm sorry, but you are now in Christ. So you are, unfortunately, a man. You're just in a woman's body. Don't get confused, because he understands who you are and who God created you to be. God did create man and woman. He didn't mess up, right? But now you're in Christ. He's hidden in you. So you have to understand how he operates and how he thinks. I think that's harder for women. I think it's hard, but he is such a loving and compassionate God that he dwells with you in understanding, like a husband does. So he knows how you think and how you operate, and he works with you. Amazing. Isn't he awesome? He is super awesome. He knows what's going on in your body better than we do. We're stupid. We don't get it. We need Jesus to tell us and remind us. Okay? And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And here's the catch, guys. Heirs according to the promise. You are an heir in Christ Jesus. So that means if you are going to be able to say, well, I have all these great and wonderful things in Christ Jesus, but I'm still this, 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 and this, and all this genealogy and all this junk, and you want to hold on to your identity and all the physical things that you say you are, then guess what? You're not. You're not an heir. That's like denouncing your birthright. Oh, am I wrong or am I right? What's scripture say? Don't count on what I'm telling you. I'm reading it to you. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards. So this talks about your kids, okay? Until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. That's all that stuff that got dumped on you by the world. That told you your heritage, all this, you're a male, the doctors, and all the stuff. Okay? But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So let's be clear. The reason Jesus did everything he did and went through the way he went through was so he could get you, who is in the law, stuck in the law, the rules and the ways of the law, and bring you out of it through the process of adoption. What is adoption? It's a good question. Because it's real simple to play on the normalcy that we think of adoption. Because you go and you fill out paperwork and you pay a hefty fee to take a child who was born by another family and bring them into your family. But this word, adoption, goes beyond that. It goes into full translation from who you were physically born into a complete new life. That means from head to toe, everything that you used to be, your parents, everything, all the attachments are gone. Now you have full rights, privileges, and everything under this new family and this new life. It even talks about being grafted in. That means you become part of the new tree. So if that's true, then you can't have your attachments elsewhere. We can't. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This is where we have to get to. We have to get to the point of recognizing that there is more for us, more to us than what we think is around us right now. All the stuff that's going on right now. Nope. Sorry. I'm sorry. If you're a brother in Jesus Christ, this is going to come off, and I'm going there because the Spirit of God's telling me to. If you're a brother in Jesus Christ, you have never been nor ever will be a slave. Even, I don't care if your ancestry leads you down to the path of, well, you were slaves. Look, I could talk about this with my brother over here about Irish heritage all day long and how the Irish were treated. Terribly. Absolutely horrendously. But I am not that and I am not them. I am found in Christ Jesus. So it isn't about my Irish heritage and what afflicted my great-great-great-great-grandparents. No, it has nothing to do with it. That was their plight, that's not mine. I'm in Christ, so I have a new life. Here's the key. And this is important that we understand now. Take this citizenship, right? Because that's us now. We recognize and maybe that's a step and maybe you have to get there. Okay, fine. But take the step right now with me. Take it now. You can back off of it later if you want to. If you don't feel confident, you want to research me more, fine. But for right now, just take the step with me. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. You are a son and a daughter and an heir to the throne because of Christ. That's who you are. What did you get adopted into? Did you get adopted into a democracy? Did you get adopted into a republic? Did you get adopted into a... name your next political thing? What did you get adopted into? You got adopted into a monarchy. He is the king. He is the king. There is no other above him. His word is the authority and law for all of us. That's it. There's nobody higher. We answer to the king. But here's the thing. Where is your position to the king? Are you a mediocre subservient, peon working in the field? No. You are a son and a daughter to the king. So your relationship to the king is the closest you can get. That's what an heir is. Okay? So, here's the thing. If we recognize that and we understand that rulership and that authority over our lives, then we cannot abide by the rule of this current domain. Not the way you think. Now, oh, wait, pastor's telling me to go break the law. That's not what pastor's telling you to do. Chill. Hold on. This is where we get messed up. Yes, you are not from this world. You are now in total relation to a new kingdom, a new plan, and a new purpose, but you are still here. And so while you are still here, you are not here as a citizen any longer. You are here as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You are here as an ambassador. What's an ambassador? An ambassador comes from another land, but they're here in this land now. So what do they have to do? They have a mission, they have a job, they have responsibilities, they have things they're supposed to do. They don't answer to the person who's in control here. They still answer to their commanding officer or their commander or their king, whoever it is that's over them. They still answer to that, but they still have to follow the rules and the regulations that are in the world that they are living in. They have to. There's rules for ambassadors. Even in this country, and even when we send our U.S. ambassadors to foreign countries, they have to still follow certain rules and regulations. They're different, though, but they still have to follow them. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So pause. If you want to know what your job is as an ambassador, that's it. You don't have to dig any further. You don't have to go digging deeper. That's it. Your ministry is reconciliation. That's it. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not as imputing their trespasses to them, and has not committed us the word of reconciliation, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors. Our job is to reconcile every single person we encounter back to him. It's that simple. So when we deal with who we are, as diverse as we are, and where we come from, whose citizenry we are a part of, guess what? Even though you're different, even though you're unique, and although you were created very unique and different in many different ways, you are a part of one body, and that is the body of Christ. And in that, you are an heir to the King who has sent you here as an ambassador of his Son to reconcile everybody else back to him. That's your job. It's that simple. You still have to live here. You still have to follow certain rules and regulations. Yes, you do. Okay? We're still foreigners in a familiar land. We're still bound by this land's laws and government, and we must always be respectful and above reproach. Remember, you represent the King. So as a representative, as an ambassador of the King, you represent him. Don't be a bad representation, because that reflects poorly. But we always obey the King and his commands above all else. So what does that mean? There may come a point in time, and this is why this message is here now, that as this world continues to honor man, his plan, his laws, what he wants to plan and purpose for his little fiefdom here, even in this country, is still, as long as that corruption and that evil and that wickedness still remains, it will continue to progress on a track that is southbound, if you know what that means. Down. Down. We, as ambassadors, we, as hailing from a different kingdom, we can't be on there. So when there comes a point in time, you're going to have to be put in a very tough position. Really tough position. Do I go along with what my country's law is telling me to do here, even though I know it completely goes against my mandate from God? Or do I go and stand up as an ambassador of the King, that this is my job, this is what I'm told to do, this is what my God has told me to do, I'm sorry, but I cannot follow that rule or that law. And regardless of the consequences, you will not budge. We've been prepared for this. We can still preach the gospel in shackles. Amen. We can still preach the gospel whether they silence us. We can still preach the gospel regardless of our life ending or not. The gospel still will go on. But we have to recognize the times and what's coming. And it's important that you know who you belong to and who you are a citizen of. It's important to know that, yeah, we're different, but the body of Christ should never be sitting here pointing out the differences that are here. Ever. We are all one, in one body, connected and united together for one purpose and one plan. That's it. It's a simple message, and we have a simple mission. Our citizenship through Christ brings us under new rule and leadership, but we must operate as a citizen subjected to this rule and leadership. We cannot exploit our favor, and I find this happens too, as sons and daughters of the King, as though we are above reproach. We're not. Far from it. We actually have a higher example that we're called to represent. Okay? We have a higher standard. So if we can receive our position and operate correctly from it, then we will see drastic changes in our mission as ambassadors. Even as an American-born native still living in this great country, our responsibility is to God first. He is our King, and our loyalty is to Him and Him alone. Period. Close the book. It's done. So the question is then today, are we willing to go where God is sending you? Are you willing to go through those trials and those tribulations? Are you committed? Because this message came way back when. Pastor said it in a very different way, in a very different vernacular, but the words still ring true. To be a part of this work that God is calling you to, and that doesn't just mean here at Streams, but the body of Christ working together, because we believe that the churches need to stop segregating too, and they need to start working together too, okay? But that it's going to cost you everything that you have and everything that you are. It's going to cost you. Are you willing to pay that price? It's important. You got to make that determination. Put your ego aside. Put all of your well-wishing aside. Put all of your hopes, your dreams, all that stuff. Put it to the side. God has a plan and purpose. Will He give you all those things? Yes, He will. Why? Because it's His job. His mission is to pour out and bless us. Think of it this way. If you're an ambassador in a foreign land, do you pay your bills? No. Who pays your bills? The government that you came from. They take care of everything. You don't have to worry about food. You don't have to worry about electricity, water, sleeping, residency, nothing. Same thing. God is your King. As long as you are operating as an ambassador in a foreign land, whose responsibility is it to take care of you? His. Guess what He does? He does. So we need to stop focusing on all the stuff we need to do and start focusing on all the things that He's telling us to do and get on His plan and off of our tracks. Because if we're on our plan and it's built around all those things that are feeding all that corruption, we're not helping reconcile people. We're helping keep people separated. We're helping breed division. We're helping, which those things that are promised to those people come upon us. We're no longer receiving the good things from the King. We're receiving the evil, wicked things from the evil one. We have a choice, right? So I leave it here with you guys today. Even though we're still here, we're still in this country, we're still living and breathing and eating in this country, it's time we recognize who we are, who we belong to, and move forward in those things. And if we want to do that, then stand up. You're going to declare it. It's okay. If you don't want to stand and make that declaration, that's fine. But I'm standing. I've made my declaration. My election is sure. Jesus is my King. God is my King. I recognize the King. I salute the King. He is my commanding officer and I'm an ambassador. Amen? Amen. So Father, I look around this room right now and I see citizens that belong to You, the King. They belong to you. You call them heirs. They are sons and daughters. They belong to you, God, and you have sent them here as ambassadors of your Son, Jesus Christ, God, and that they are sent on a wonderful mission to reconcile your people back to you, God. So, Father, that is their command. That is their command that you have given them, God. So I release them, God, to go and reconcile your people back to you as faithful ambassadors of Jesus Christ, God, that they recognize all that is provided to them to continue to accomplish this will is not based on their effort. It's not based on what they have to put in, but it's them recognizing and holding on true to the faithful commitment as an ambassador that you will provide. You will care for them. You will take care of every bit of their needs so they do not have to worry, but they can stay focused on their mission. So God, have your way with us. Continue to push us further and further into your people so that we can be the best ambassadors that you have ever sent, that we are faithful to accomplish your will on this planet as you see fit, God. Use us today and every day henceforth as we surrender to your will and your kingship over our lives. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.